that bad when I look like that and I don't see the scripture. You know what I mean? Say, well, what if I don't do it now? Have no fear. Have no fear. I got it right here. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. I want to talk this morning about the love of God. The love of God. The Bible tells us that God is love. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, I've always said this. There was a time in my life, you know, Lord opened my heart when I was in my 30s. And up until that time, I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, any way I wanted to do it, and I didn't care about anybody else but me. As far as I was concerned, I was the center of my universe. There's a lot of people out like that today. If you had asked me before I was in my 30s what my intentions on being, I've shared this with you before, I'm sure. I want to be a Rhode Island state trooper. You know, they back then, you know, they spent like $3,000 just alone on their uniform, and I could just see myself in that van. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. But God had other plans. I can remember in high school they gave us an assignment and said that each one of you is going to have to get up and speak for 10 minutes. And I thought, I ain't get up standing up in front of nobody speaking for 10 minutes. And I didn't. Not then. But I'll tell you what, since the Lord has opened my heart, you can't shut me up. You know what I mean? Isn't it a good thing? I said this in Sunday school. Wouldn't it be nice? Let's just say you just passed away and you're up here and I'm giving your eulogy. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm Lee. He's got a red shirt on this. And I say this, well, I'll tell you what, no matter what you say about Lee, I know this. I know he loved Jesus Christ. I know he loved it. I said to you in the past, one of the greatest things I could ever hear is a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather is to hear my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren say this to me. Papa, I love Jesus Christ more than I love you. You bless my heart. You bless my heart. You haven't hurt me in any way at all. The love of God. There are many today who talk about the love of God who are total strangers to the God of love. I say this, we cannot know what love is until you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You don't know a lot of this. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I take issue with that. You take all the issue you want. You know? What do you need? 500 feet to hang yourself? Go ahead, take it. I still stand. This is God's love. How can you know what love is if God is not in your life? No wonder we have the problems we have. As a pastor, I've had many sessions of counseling. Husband and wife, I can't stand you. Well, let me ask you this. How long have you been married? I've been married 12 years. You've been married 12 years? Yeah. Well, what's the problem? Well, he's gross. His feet stink. Well, let me ask you this. Was he gross and his feet stink way back when you met him? Or what? What's this? All of a sudden now. First John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. One of the things that Galatians tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing is love. A true Christian, I feel sorry for this world today. I don't hate it. I'm amazed at what's taking place. It's all in God's Word. You take our president. I don't hate our president. I feel sorry for him. I do. I feel sorry. He has no concept of what he's doing. He's just somebody that we can point fingers at. Well, it's all his fault, you know. It's all his fault. Yeah, but he don't know nothing. Yeah, but it's all his fault. I feel for people. This morning, I'm sharing a message with you, the love of God. Tonight, I'm going to share the wrath of God. And I want to show both sides. God is God of wrath, you know. But I will share this with you. To understand the love of God and the wrath of God, you have got to take hold of the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
That's what Job's problem was. Job said, I've done everything God wants me to do. Why am I being treated like this? You ever felt that way? When I was first called into the ministry, I remember reading an article of a young fellow and his wife, and they had a daughter, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And he wrote and said, you know, God's called us down to Arkansas. We were going to Arkansas and the used of the Lord. He went down there. Tornado come up. Wiped the house out he was living in. Killed his daughter. I had a problem with that. What? Lord, he's doing what you want him to do. What's going on here? It's kind of like Job was, right? When I talk about the sovereignty of God, I'm talking this. God can do whatever he wants, any way he wants, any time he wants, to whomever he wants, because he's God. God created us. We didn't create them. He was here first. I just bought it's a Christian book written by a doctor. And it's quite interesting. He says, I'm fascinated when I look at the human body. When I study the human eye and everything that it encompasses, God designed that and made it. When I see the brain and electrical impulses and all this stuff, God created that. What are you going to tell God about the human body? You need to tell him nothing. He knows more than we ever could. I thought of this the other day. There are 7,100 languages in this world. Now, Let's suppose we bowed our head, every one of us, and you said your own prayer. Our God is able to understand every one of you at the same time.
Amen.
Now, supposing y'all spoke a different language, He still understands every one of you at the same time. We can't wrap our hands around that. But that's God.
What is that?
Some things I want to share with you. Some facts on God's love. There's seven of them. Number one. Some facts on God's love. It's not influenced. God didn't choose you because, wow, man, she sure is pretty. I tell you what, you know what I mean? She's just a pretty person. That's why I chose her. No. Well, he's a handsome man. Man, look at him. He's 6'7". You know what I mean? No. No. And we all know this because we say to ourselves, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how you could love me. It's not influence. The love which one creature has for another is because of something in the object. I'll admit, that's my wife sitting down there. Like, if you don't know, I pointed quick, so you don't know which woman it is. Perfect. Now, I thought she was pretty. I still think she's pretty. I know she's pretty. But so are a lot of other people. Love of God is free, it's spontaneous, and it's uncaused. The only reason why God loves any is found in His own sovereign will. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Chapter 7. Look with me well, let's take it at verse 6 so we don't take nothing out of context. It says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen," notice this, "chosen thee," God does the choosing, "to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." I know this verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, King of Egypt." God doesn't choose. You can see that all through the Bible. Now, some folks get all mad. Oh, no, I made a decision for Christ. No, no, no. Jesus said, "I said, Father, draw you. Your heart ain't going to open. Your heart's not going to open. That's the way it is." You ever wonder why in the Bible it says something else? All Scripture given by inspiration of God. We can't pick and choose chocolates. I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Yeah, I like this little section right here. But he's good. You can't do that with Scripture. We take what the Bible says. So it's not influence. Second thing is, it's eternal. It's eternal. Why? Because God is eternal. See, we can't fathom that. You and I have a beginning and an end. We were born, we die. We get up in the morning, it's time to go to bed. We live by the clock. Tim and I like to play the game of life. Guess what there won't be in heaven? There'll be no clocks in heaven. You don't need it. there'll be no seasons. Matter of fact, Revelation says there'll be no sun and moon. Jesus will be the light.
That's right.
And God is very gracious. There'll be no tattoo clouds. There'll be none of them. Some folks say, well, I don't want to go there. Well, it's okay. You know, we should cover that. There'll be no car salesmen. No hairdressers. No makeup. Why? You won't need it. See, our problem here on earth is we want to take earth with us. And this is what we've learned. This is the way I want it to be. It's not going to be that way. Wayne and I were talking about that last week. The convention we looked at. It's eternal. Jeremiah. Chapter 31. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 31. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee, notice, with an everlasting love. There with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I bring you to me. Do you ever wonder why Jesus said this? Many are called, but few are chosen. I don't know about you, but my pastor says, oh yeah, man, I heard that. Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, they were playing that invitation, and man, it just tugged at my heartstrings. And I went forward and I accepted Christ. It was my decision. No, he drew me. He drew me. Many are called. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But few were chosen. Except my Father drew them. We don't have a chance. Well, that's not fair. Well, wait a minute. Now, he created everything. And we're going to tell him, kind of like Job. He said to Job, who is this that, I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm running their mouth off, and they don't know what they're talking about. It's eternal. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And so is his eternal love. See, we can't understand that. We mean everlasting to, you know, everything has to have a beginning. There are certain things the Bible says that God says, I'll let you know. But there are some things you're not going to know. Don't even ask me. No. Number 3, it's sovereign. Because God is sovereign. He's overall, as I said earlier, he does as he pleases. He loves who he pleases. Because God is God, he does as he pleases. Therefore, his love is sovereign. See, if we wrestle with that, what are you going to do in the Old Testament with the flood? What happened? What happened to all the people? I don't know how many people there were. I know that God saved 8 people on the island. But the rest? Anything from there? How long was Noah building the ark? 120 years. 120 years. And I'm sure if you walked up to Noah and said, well, what's going on? Well, God told me to build this, so I'm building it. They thought he was a beefcake from in the desert or wherever it is. You know, I don't see no water. What are you doing with this thing? His love is sovereign. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans. Look at Romans chapter 9. I know you ladies are in Romans. Romans chapter 9. Let's pick it up at verse 11 of Romans chapter 9. It says, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, notice this, according to election, might stand. What's that mean? God's doing the choosing here. Not of works, but of him that called them. He's the one that does the calling. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness to God? Are we going to accuse God and say, listen, whoa, this is not fair. Says God forbid. Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. If you know Christ as your Savior, I tell you what, you thank the Lord. Despite all of Jacob's faults and ways, God never ceased to love him. I remember reading Charles Spurgeon say, he had a woman come up to him and said, I don't understand how God hate Esau. And Charles said, ma'am, I don't understand how God could love Jacob. Jacob has problems. See, it's not up to us. You can spin your wheels on this all day long. You can say, I don't like it. I'm not going to accept it. Is it what it is? Because we wrestle with this sometimes. Well, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I know I did. And that's good. No, that's good. I said this in Sunday school class. Okay, where do you go to church? Well, where's your church home? I don't know. What's your favorite book of the Bible? Well, it's hard to understand. Wait a minute now. Whoa. It's the Holy Spirit's job. If you're truly a Christian, he's the one that opens your heart. He's the one that's going to show you how to read the Word. Don't tell me it's too hard to understand. Oh, there's some certain things you're going to spend the rest of your life studying. Right? So, don't say it's too hard. Ephesians chapter 2. Number 4 is, it is infinite. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's pick it up at verse 4. According as he, hath chosen us in him. He chose us in him. Now notice, before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, notice this, according to the good pleasure of his will, because he, that's what he wanted. He's got every right. He's the creator. He not only made you, he made your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your mom and dad. He knows all that. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory, verse 6, of his grace, wherein he hath made us, made, past tense, accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. There's no reason why a person, if he's truly saved, you're truly seeking God, that you can't find him. He's there. You want to grow in the Lord. Let's guess what? Lord wants you to grow in the Lord. So it's infinite. This was written in 1743. Let me share it with you. No tongue can fully express the infinitude of God's love, or any mind comprehend it. It passes knowledge. The most extensive ideas that the finite can frame about divine love are far, far below its true nature. It is a fountain from which flows all necessary good to all those who are interested in it. That was 1743. So where do we stand today? I don't believe that. You believe that? Oh my goodness. You poor thing. Everybody knows. That's a book of myths. So you're way up on mine. Well, Mr. Brennan, how are we going to shut you up? You're going to have to kill me. That's it. And you'll be ready to do that too. Bring it on. Number 5. It knows no change, nor does it diminish. Never will God say, if he's opened your heart, if he's drawn you, will he ever say, oh man, I made a mistake there. No, sir. That's not going to happen. You're his. You are his. Sometimes people say, you can't say that. Well, let's go to 1 John, where we started, and look at chapter 5. Can you know you're saved? I've had people say to me, well, preacher, I tell you what, I hear you. You're one of those who thinks he's going to heaven. My response is, no, no. I know it. Amen. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
That's right.
1 John chapter 5. I've shared this with you. I shared this with a woman who was dying. Her daughter called me and asked me if I'd come talk to the mother, and I did. And this is what I read to her. Verse 11, 1 John chapter 5. And this is a record, or this is a testimony, that God hath given, past tense here, to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, that's Jesus. He that hath the Son, Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, Jesus, hath not life. 13. These things, what things? These things I just stated to you, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, notice this now, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm not going to argue with God. Yes, God wants you to know it. Why? Because it's humbling every day. Lord, I don't measure up. Lord, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I hurt that person's feeling. That's how it is. You confess it. You go on. James chapter 1. Verse 17. James 1:17. Says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I don't ever change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. His love no end, no measure knows, nor change, no change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows from one eternal source. It knows no change. Number 6, God's love is holy. God's love is not regulated by an impulsive change of mind or by any indecision. God's love is no mere weakness or effeminate softness. God cares about us. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's back up a little bit from James. Hebrews 12. Verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He corrects somehow, some way, whatever's deemed, whatever way he sees fit, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. That says to me, God's spanked you lately? No, he hasn't. We may know it, we may not know it. Sometimes we say, I remember one time I was working as maintenance in a mold injection department. And I came up to a machine and it wasn't running. And I remember saying, oh Lord, why me? And there was an electrician on the other side of the machine who said, because it's your turn, that's why. Yeah, that's how it is. You may not know. But to think for us, how do we react to that? Lord, help me to see where I failed you. Help me, Lord, show me where I'm going, where I shouldn't go. You've read the Bible about Paul's thorn in the flesh. You realize why he got that? Because he got a glimpse of heaven that no other person has ever got. And to keep him humble, God gave him, as the Bible says, a thorn in the flesh. Now, we really don't know what that is. We got an idea, but... And he said, I prayed 3 times to the Lord, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. You can do this. You just keep your focus on me. You'll make it. And so that's what we need to realize. And number 7, it is gracious. It is gracious. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know you know these. Pick it up at verse 32. The love and favor of God are inseparable. Romans 8, verse 32, says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, he rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is gracious. We know Christ died because he did love his people. He died for you and I. It should give us comfort to know that when the world hates us, and if it hasn't yet, it will, God loves us. The love of God, it is not influenced. It is eternal. It is sovereign. It is infinite. It knows no change. It is holy. It is gracious. The love of God. My thoughts are on Peggy again. I lost my dad in 1993. And someone gave me a picture. And on the picture, he saw three people on a cloud. Two with their backs, one facing you. The one facing you was Jesus. One of the ones with his back to us is an angel. Standing next to him is a man that just passed away. And what he's doing is Jesus. Jesus has such a smile on his face. I mean, it didn't say anything, but it said everything. Remember that. Harsh times now? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you something. Things are coming that you cannot even fathom and imagine. You give heaven your best shot, you won't even come close to what it's like. Pastor said he loves you, but he ain't the only one. I love you too. It's been a privilege for me to stand before you this morning. Don't forget, Nurse 9 at 2 o'clock. And then back here tonight at 5, we'll talk about the wrath of God.